Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Aren't we glad that if God is for us, no one can stand against us?
Yes.
I mean, really, and sometimes you feel like you're overwhelmed, but God is for us, and nothing can stand against us, so praise God for that. We're going to be starting a new series of messages today entitled Masterpiece in Progress, and before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. And Father, I pray that you will do your work, accomplish your work, and present your word through the message and everything that's included in that. And I pray that we'll walk away filled by the awareness of your presence and by your word, which is the living bread of life, that we can take it in and eat on it and consume it and receive what you have for each one of us to receive. But I pray that each person here will receive something specific for them, that they'll walk away saying that got me, that either pierced me or blessed me or that hit me or I never saw that before, or a light or enlightenment or anything like that. I pray that you would do your masterful work by presenting truth to us, because we can't receive any truth of your word. We can't understand any of your word except through you. You're the one that reveals it to us. So I pray that you would do that, not just today, but in the messages ahead and the year ahead. I just pray you'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask the kids to come up on the front row, if you would. I'll get this set up. Now, we have this painting up here. It's not really a painting. It's a print. But it's a print of the painting. Now, there's an artist that painted this picture. Does anybody know what that picture is? What's it of? Do you know?
The White House.
Oh, but you were there just recently at this place. I think so. Weren't you? Oh, well, you were in Sacramento. It's in Sacramento. Yeah. That's the Sacramento of the California capital. Okay? Does anybody, do you know that in this picture, do you have any idea who painted the picture?
Artist.
Very good. That's right. An artist painted. Do you know the artist's name? No. Do you know that in the picture you can find out what the name of the artist is? You can't. If you, let's see, come here. Come here, Tim. I'll show you. Right here. You see that right there? That's in paint. It's initials of his name, Thomas Kincaid. Okay, and then you wrote a note to your grandma about that. Go sit down now, okay? Or your great grandma, I should say. Okay, so we have a painting and or a copy of one. We know who the artist is. His name is Thomas Kincaid. I know there's some here that know the name Thomas Kincaid. He actually went to your Carolyn Tatum. Thomas Kincaid actually went to school where your mommy and Uncle Greg went to school, up in Placerville. That's where he went to school. And so he painted this, but also there's something else that you can learn about the artist. He when there were people in the picture, guess what he did, Lily? He would draw in the picture himself and sometimes his family members in the picture. And I think, if I'm correct, that this is he and his wife, I think.
His wife?
Yeah, he's married. So he and his wife are in the painting. But what makes it a masterpiece is, look at the detail of even the clouds, or how the flags are waving, or the light. He was known for the light. That was his signature, the light and the color that he would put in the paintings. And that's the masterpiece. We call it a masterpiece. Okay? It's very special. But do you know that God is an artist? Is he not? You ever see the sky in the morning or at night or when the sun's going down, all the colors in the sky? He's an artist. And it's always different, always beautiful, right? So he is an artist. And you can learn about God because God wants us to know him. God even wants us to know about him through looking at nature, what he created. God created everything. And if you look at nature, we can learn about God. Because what happens is we start looking at flowers. If you took a leaf, guys, look up here. If you took a leaf and you looked at it real close, you'd see all these little veins through it to help it grow in the right shape. But if you put it under a microscope, you'd see a whole bunch of other things. And you'd go, all that detail. Wow, somebody must have what? Created it. And God did. God created everything, and so we can look through creation and see God. But the more we look to God, our Creator, the more we want to learn about Him. How do we learn about God? Reading the Bible. That's right. Now, they say you don't know how to read yet, but you can listen to stories. Your mom and dad can read you a story out of the Bible or can talk about a scripture or something that's written in the Bible for you, right? And you start learning about God through His Word. And you start learning about how great God is by looking at even creation. Right? And so you have a masterpiece because of all of its detail. God wants us to know Him for who He is. And you know what? We can never learn everything about God. We can learn everything about this if we really wanted to. Every little detail, how it's done, and everything. But we can't learn everything about God, and God wants us to learn about Him in every detail. So the choice is, do we look to God to learn? Because you know what else is special? Not only is this a reflection of a masterpiece, but you are a masterpiece. All of us are. Because we're created in God's image. But He's making us into a greater masterpiece as we follow Him. Okay? So, thank you for coming up. Go back into your seats. I appreciate that. As we continue our study in the masterpiece in progress, I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes it helps to reflect on that a little bit, that we would think, wow, we are a masterpiece in progress. We are God's children, and God is working in our lives and shaping our lives to make us what He wants to be. And looking at this message, I can't help but think about what God has promised to every one of His children, that when we get to heaven, we're going to get a new name. And that new name will reflect the masterpiece work. That He'll take what we are now, and He's shaping us and making us into what He wants us to be when He completes the job. And He gives us a new name that will reflect the masterpiece, how He's made us. We praise God for that. So let's get right into it. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:11-14, it says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." Every believer has an inheritance from God. God has something for each one of us that's from Him. It's been predetermined, and His purpose is to do His work in and through us according to His will. That's what verse 11 is talking about. Verse 12, "That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." He wants our lives to bring Him glory. Verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Every believer knows that Jesus lives in their heart. We can identify the Spirit of God in our heart. We know He's real. We know He's alive. We know He lives in us, and we in Him. Verse 14, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Christ bought us through His shed blood on Calvary. We've been purchased through Christ. We become not our own anymore, but we belong to God. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we belong to Him. We have the assurance that He lives in our heart. And again, in verse 14, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." He is working in our lives in a way to bring us to a place that brings Him glory. Now, that'll happen this side of heaven. As we follow Him, live for Him, discover Him, experience Him, we're seeing God's hand and power in our lives. And as we're faithful to Him, we'll see Him glorified by it. But when we're in heaven, we're that completed masterpiece where God's going to showcase us. You know, our piece is typically really good ones, real ones. You have a nice light on top, on, you know, above the picture, and you showcase it. As much as we don't feel like being showcased, you and I are going to be showcased in heaven forever because we're the masterpiece in progress. God is working something wonderful beyond our comprehension and shaping us for His glory. Paul's language in this passage in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, Paul's language in this passage emphasizes God's sovereignty and His work as a master artist who can restore a lost world back to a right relationship. You see, when Adam and Eve were made and created, they had no sinful nature and they glorified God who they were. And all of us are created in His image. But when they fell in sin, that sin carried on, as we all know. We all have a sinful nature. God wants to restore us to a far better nature. So when we receive Him, He starts teaching us how to live in His nature and not in the nature of our sinful nature. But in the end picture, we're going to be totally in His nature and not have the sinful nature. And that's the restoration. But in the process, He's going to make us into that beautiful masterpiece that is different than who we started out as being. And so it's like the blank canvas here, in a sense. I've got the canvas, and I'm going to build on it, and the end product's going to be a masterpiece. You and I, in the beginning, were born with a sinful nature, but as we give our lives to Christ and receive Him into our heart, He works that work that shapes us and molds us to reflect Him, and it glorifies Him. Restoration is God's specialty as a master artist. You see the skies. How many of you posted on Facebook? You see in the skies. Isn't that a beautiful sunset? I had a friend of mine up in Placerville send a picture on Facebook a few days ago, sitting out on their deck, and it was just orange and yellow and blue with the silhouettes of the pines and the mountains, and it was gorgeous. God is a master artist. He knows what a masterpiece should be like, and He does a great work. He does a great work. You know, how many of you watched The Roadshow?
Antique.
Antique, yeah. I think all us older folks do, excuse me, but most of us older folks don't watch it. What I mean by that is this, that my daughter, when she was at the house, when she was staying there for a little bit, and transitions and stuff as far as moving and everything, but we'd watch Roadshow. She's like, she wouldn't say anything verbally, but her body would go like this. I watch it for two reasons. One reason, because I find the history interesting, and secondly, because it puts me to sleep. It's kind of like an oxymoron for me. But in The Roadshow, there have paintings that cost $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, maybe more. But they're dirty. And oftentimes they're saying, you need to have this professionally cleaned in order to showcase what it is. That's what God is doing with you and I. He, as the master artist, is professionally cleaning us through a right relationship with Him. That the masterwork that He does in our life, what is that masterwork? It's developing His character in your life and my life as believers as we yield and follow Him. That character is developed. And as it's developed, that's part of the cleaning process, and He's revealed in that masterpiece of work that He's doing in our lives. And so we can praise that for Him. We're not to walk around arrogant and say, hey, look, I'm a masterpiece. But God views us that way. God views us as an incredible piece of work that He's made. And His desire is that we would be showcased in a way that brings Him honor and glory. God, the artist, of course, restores His creative masterpieces to what He intends them to be like. Right? I want us to watch this little clip. Hopefully it all works okay. How many of you like to watch Fixer Upper? Yeah. That they're a great couple, Christian couple, and they do a great job. So this looks like a clip from that.
Center Heights area.
We showed them three houses. Two of the houses cost more but require less renovation. One house is a complete wreck, but it gives them the most opportunity to make it exactly what they wanted.
We went back and forth, some heated exchanges. In the end, we went for the ghost house. What would we call it? A catastrophe house?
Yeah, you call it the catastrophe house. It's really hard to imagine it being something new and beautiful. I trust Joanna. I know she's been able to turn crappy into happy, and I'm hoping that she can do that with this house.
Are you guys ready to see your fixer-upper?
Let's go.
Always.
Is this the same house?
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Wow.
There were so many elements in this house that when you ripped off the porch, which was in complete disarray, and the landscape and the trees.
I hear a word you're saying. It's beautiful. It really is. Everything is awesome. I can't believe it.
Let's go inside.
Let's go see your picture of it.
Welcome to your home.
It's a half-hour show, so we're cutting it there. But we get the idea. You know, on the outside, it turned into a beautiful building, depending on your taste and style, but obviously in direct contrast to what it was. On the inside, it was totally a restored, fresh, new beginning in the life of the house and in the purpose of the house. That's what God's working in our lives. He's restoring the inside to a level of restoration that we cannot understand. And remember, restoration is that of removing the dirt and allowing the light and the character that God intended to be seen. And on the outside, the very life of Christ to be manifested through our lives to the people that know us. When people come to you and say, "I knew you were a Christian." What a blessing that is to hear. How'd you know that? I just had a feeling in my spirit. You're a Christian. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to hear from other people. So we're like that old house. We need to be cleaned out. And there's lots of things that needed to be done to get it all into tip-top shape. But I want to go on and look at Ephesians 1:15 through 17. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul was excited about the Christians in Ephesus because of their faith and their love for the brethren and their unity and their receiving the truth of God's word into their lives. Because he knew that through that, they were going to become this new creation. Scripture says that we've been made new in Christ. Scripture says to put away the old man so that we can live out the new man, put on the new man. And so he's excited about who they are and what their heart is and what their focus is on the details of knowing God and receiving what he has for them to receive in order to accomplish his master work or masterful work in restoring their lives, not only to a right relationship with him, but one that is a relationship that brings honor and glory to God. He wants us to know him personally, and according to Paul, to know him better and better. An authentic relationship with God is dynamic over time. The more we grow in Christ, the more we recognize the power of Christ working in our lives. The more we know him, it's like the art picture and working with the kids, saying the more details you pick out and know, the more that that will be appreciated and seen and recognized. And so the more that we know about Christ and apply to our lives, the more that we are going to be able to reflect him and his character as God our Creator. He is doing that masterpiece work. He is developing that new character in our lives. So, how do we get to know the artist, God our Creator? Well, we talked about it. Read your Bible, right? Again, I think last week I said that there were 19% of Christians that read their Bible. Isn't that sad? Because it's the power of the Word in our life that we learn about God. That's how we find out the details about who God is. And so I want us to look at one more example quickly. God expects us to find out about him, we take the time to find out about one another. So we've got Kathy's Facebook page here, and we're going to click on About, and then we're going to read about, a little bit about who she is, about her history, her education, and we scroll through her timeline, and we know that she spends a lot of time with her family. And she teaches her grandchildren, and she's involved in all of that and in ministry. And so you learn who she is and what she does. And so Kathy wanted me to say also that, and she married a great man. Ha ha. But in regard to this, we begin to identify, and if you get a new Facebook request, friend request, you might want to check out who they are and how they're related to other friends, or you just catching up on an old friend who just got on Facebook. But we learn the details. We take the time to intentionally learn. That's the point. If we intentionally take the time to learn about Christ through his word and through prayer, then we are going to discover him. That's one of the things in Kathy's page that she puts on there, that studying and praying and spending that time with God is one of her richest blessings aside from family. But that time with God is of paramount importance to her. And so as we spend time with God, we get to know him, just like in any relationship. And so we need to pursue that and consider that. So the more time we spend in God's Word and the more time we spend in prayer, we will get to know our Creator better and better. How many of us want to know Jesus better? What under what circumstances do we want to know him better? just reveal yourself to me. That's easy. And sometimes he does, because he loves us. But it's also the intent. I want to learn about you. You're the artist that's working in my life to make me what you want me to be, that you planned all along before the foundations of the world of what you want me to be. So let's look at Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 now. The eyes of your understanding, love that, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God wants us to gain understanding. He wants us to be spiritually enlightened. He wants us to know him more. He wants us to know the hope that he promises us. He wants us to know and experience the calling of him on each one of our lives. He wants us to know the riches that he has promised us that are stored for us, or that we already have in him as believers. He wants us to know the glory that we shall share in him, for we shall be glorified with him, Scripture says. He wants us to know that we are the inheritance that we have. Everything the Father has for the Son, he shares with us. We are joint heirs with Christ because we are in him. We are called the saints, not because of ourselves, but because we are made right with God through faith in Christ, his Son, who paid for all of our sin. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To experience the exceeding greatness of God's power in our life. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power in verse 19 toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The working of the master artist is powerful in your life and my life. Now, he's going to complete the work in our life. He's promised that. What he's begun in our life, he's going to complete in our life. But I would like to be able to experience and recognize and acknowledge the work that he's doing in my life through that intimate, close relationship with the artist. Because when we experience him, what a wonder that is and how that builds our faith. God wants us to be enlightened or be well informed about him. God wants us to know the hope of his calling. And the hope of his calling has its perspective on the future. If we have the bright perspective in this life of future, it challenges and helps us balance out our priorities in the present. It gives us the right perspective. I'm living my life, laying up my treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. I'm living my life where my heart is in Jesus and not in the temporal things of this world. I'm living with a spiritual perspective that's different from that of the world that affects the present of my life and the future. The believer has a glorious future of resurrection, eternal life, and freedom from sin. Freedom from sin gives the freedom to love and a capacity that you and I have never experienced between one another in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power. To experience the greatness of God's power in our lives, to acknowledge, wow, that was God that did that. Wow! Is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Absolutely. David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, said this, quote, "Christians should know they serve and love a God of living power who knows his strength on behalf of his people. Many Christians do not know this power, or they only know it from a distance. God wants resurrection life to be real in the life of the believer." God wants you and I to know his resurrection life as a reality, as a norm in our lives as we walk with him. Charles Spurgeon, an 1800s Baptist preacher, as many of us know, says this, quote, "The very same power which raised Christ is waiting to raise the drunkard from his drunkenness, to raise the thief from his dishonesty, to raise the Pharisee from his self-righteousness, and to raise the Sadducee from his unbelief." Power. Restoration. A new masterpiece. And let's read the last verse in Ephesians 1:19 again that we're looking at this morning. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" I'll read it again. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" We need to understand that, and I'm going to emphasize it one more time. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe?" Recognizing his power in and through our lives and the power that he's doing with our lives for his glory by his might is something that will enrich us as believers in Christ, to say the least. And so I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the exceeding, you know what exceeding greatness means? Greatness is one thing. It's like, wow, that was fantastic. Exceeding greatness is beyond our understanding. The exceeding greatness of God's power in your life and in my life, right? Do you know what that power is? It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. You say, well, that's beyond great, right? It's the power that Christ used to raise people from the dead, to heal the blind, all the miracles that Jesus did. That very same power of God, whether we can't comprehend it, and oftentimes we don't believe it, but it's true, that very power, that exceeding greatness of his power, lives inside of you and I as believers. And God wants us, for lack of better concept, to tap in to him and his power, but we have to look at him. We have to look at the artist. We have to know the artist. We have to learn about Him and have understanding of Him and all the things that will help us to appreciate that power that He has given in our lives. God will complete His masterpiece in your life and my life. You and I, when we're in heaven together, we're going to see the marvelous love and the fantastic work that He did in each of our lives. And it's going to be presented and showcased in heaven. Praise God for that. You are a masterpiece. We don't get that. We don't feel that. But God sees that and knows that in each one of us because He's doing that specific work. And whatever God's work is that He's doing, He's going to complete it for the right purpose. So think about that power as you go out of here today and as you go through the week. Live by that exceeding greatness power of Christ in our lives. You will be that prized masterpiece when He's done. You will be that. But we have to spend time knowing the artist and letting Him do the work. Challenge yourself. How much time do I spend with God? Challenge yourself. I will commit to 10 minutes a day to read His Word. Challenge yourself to bow down on your knee if you're able to and pray to God when you get up in the morning or at some point in some place. But cling to Him, look to Him, and know Him, and experience the wonder of the Master's hand working in and through our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here today. Father, as Your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as believers in You, You see us from an eye that we don't see ourselves. You see us with the greatness of Your masterful hand working in and through our lives. You see us with the knowledge and understanding of the completed work that You do in our life, the completed masterpiece that You are making us into. You see us with great joy and great love, a love that's immeasurable, that has no height or depth or width or length that we can measure. You see us with great joy. You see us as Your children, the crown of Your life, the precious stones in Your crown, because we're Yours and You died for us. And no greater love is there than this, that a man lay down his life for another, which You did for us. So, Father, help us to hold up our heads high as believers, to know You're doing that work, to know You see us as You see us, and help us to see just how that is by experiencing You and Your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.